Good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here today, and I'm actually quite grateful for being here today myself. I have a story to tell, actually. I'm talking about ED youth, non-urgent ED youth in South Carolina. I shortened my title. I want to mention that I don't have any relationship to disclose, but I do have a story to tell. About 10 hours before boarding my flight to come over here today, I was thinking that I wasn't going to make it because I was sitting at my computer finishing up some work, and it felt like someone stabbed me in the stomach. It was like, whoa, what happened there? And I went to the restroom. I thought I had stomach cramp. I was lying on the floor, and the floor was cold. It was tiled, and I was waiting there writhing in pain for 20 minutes. And I ended up in an ED, and I thought it was kind of a poetic justice that I'm talking about the ED utilization in South Carolina, and I ended up in the ED in South Carolina. So there I was, and the doctor told me that I was really lucky, that generally on a Friday night, it's like crowded, the ED is crowded. There are a lot of people there who don't really have an emergency. In fact, the doctor told me that a patient right after me was in the ED the day before, and apparently he was homeless, and he claimed that he fell on the median in the street and hurt his chest, so he was there again the second night. Once I was in an ED in California, but not for myself, but I drove my friend over, and we waited 5 hours to be seen, and I was just thinking about how painful it would have been for me to wait five hours. With this stabbing pain in my stomach. And the funny thing was that I was so convinced that I had appendicitis because it was right here in the lower right part of my abdomen. And the doctor asked me lots of questions and, you know, put two and two together and got a CT scan. And immediately they gave me morphine. And by the way, full disclosure, I'm on morphine and Percocet right now. So if I'm a little bit out of it, that's because I didn't even think I was going to make it here, but long story short, it turned out to be a kidney stone, and it's something that you do not want to wish on your worst enemy. I don't know how many of you have had a kidney stone. It was my very first one. It was just like stabbing and twisting in my stomach, and the doctor said, here you are, here's your Percocet. I asked him if I could come today, and he said, you know, you're a big boy, you can decide for yourself. I almost decided not to come, but I said, I'm glad I came, because then two Dr. Chens would have withdrawn, and that would have been a little too coincidental. But anyway, so it's a very, very controversial topic. I've seen it firsthand now, so I can talk about it with a little bit more authority, can't I? That, you know, there's certainly people who are misusing the ED. Other ED doctors have told me that they have had patients come into the ED because they couldn't take off their Lee press-on nail. It's blamed for the overcrowding. You know, taking my example in California, waiting for my friend to be seen for about 5 hours. Reduced quality because perhaps doctors are spending too much time worrying about EMTALA and other legal protections, and I not that I'm saying that they shouldn't be there. You don't want to have a system where people are turned away from the ED. But certainly, it's a very controversial topic. There are people who are misusing it. There are people who don't know better, and they go to the ED because they think they have a real problem. In my case, I try not to go to the ED, and I just kind of thinking back. Wonder what it would have been like if I didn't go and get that morphine shot for the rest of the evening. So today I'm going to talk about non-urgent use of the ED in South Carolina, and I have two research questions. One is, does travel distance matter? And the other one is whether observable characteristics are associated with non-urgent ED use. And when I put this up, I'm sure that everybody's first question will be, what do you mean by non-ED, but I'll get to that. Why is this question important? Because it's so hard to define what it means to go to the ED for non-urgent utilization. There's a lot of disagreement in terms of what's the percentage of ED visits in the U.S. that are non-urgent, and so there's anywhere between 8 to 56% estimate of annual visits could be non-urgent in this country. And some people say as much as $38 billion in additional costs for people going to the ED for non-urgent reasons. And all these lead to overcrowding, increased LOS, length of stay, early departures, people waiting and waiting and decided to leave, and ED rationing. So, and the most important thing, I think, is that if you go to the ED for your primary care, you're getting episodic care. You get this acute flare-up, and then you go to the ED, you get that taken care of. Because all the ED is, the emergency department doctor is really charged with doing is to stabilize your condition according to the law, and then you're discharged. If you don't have insurance, they're certainly not going to do more than that. So the episodic care of ED utilization is certainly a concern as well. So now let's go to how do I define ED? I just take something that other people have defined already. From the NYU ED algorithm, it was developed by a panel of physicians. They took about 6,000 medical records from several New York area hospitals, and they went through the medical records and decided whether or not this was a case of real emergency. And they assigned a value between 0 and 1. For four variables, and I've listed three here. One is that this case was a case of non-emergent utilization of the ED. Immediate care was not required within 12 hours. Another number given to whether or not this was primary care treatable. There was certainly need for medical attention, but within 12 hours, but it could have been treated within a primary care setting. And there's also another score for PCP, primary care preventable. Emergency care is actually required, but it could have been prevented if this person had had timely appropriate primary care. So that's the way I've been defining my variables. And these are, in a sense, if you look at it in terms of the aggregate, they're like a percentage of visits, of the 6,000 visits. Percentage of what they are, what non-emergent or primary care treatable or primary care preventable is. But in my case, because I have the individual level limit visit and a primary diagnosis code, I would kind of think of my variable, my dependent variable, as the probability that you have a condition that's non-emergent or primary care treatable or primary care preventable. So, and I want to show you some maps, and this is South Carolina. I'm actually California. I moved to South Carolina 3 years ago, and that was sort of a culture shock, but that's another story. So if there are other true South Carolinians in here, you can actually correct me, but the interesting thing is that this is a map of the distribution of non-emergent ED use, and the interesting thing about it is that I might walk close to the map. This part, that part, those are the two richest parts in South Carolina. It's Charleston, which I never made it to, and Greenville, South Carolina. And so it's interesting because our priors, I believe that people who, the underserved and the vulnerable population, they're using the ED for no apparently good reason, like going to the ED to take off their lead person mail. But in South Carolina, you can see that even the rich counties, you have high levels of non-urgent ED use. And then if you look at the next graph, now this is starting to make a little bit more sense because the central part of South Carolina is the poorest part. And this is the part where people are going to the ED for an actual medical need, but a medical need that could have been addressed in the primary care setting. So they're going to the ED to see, the doctor for a cold or some other disease, a medical condition that could have been treated in primary care, and for some reason they're not going to the primary care, but they're going to the ED. So those two graphs sort of set the mood of this discussion, I think, because again, the prior belief for most people probably is that it's the poor and the underserved who are going to the ED just for a good night's sleep or a hot shower. By the way, when I was in the ED yesterday morning, I guess, the person who came in was homeless, who fell down and said he hurt his chest. The nurse wouldn't see him until he took a shower, so I guess he got a shower as well. So the source of my data, I got the data from the South Carolina Office of Research Statistics. one of the advantages of being in a small state is that the entire population of South Carolina is approximately 4 million, is that you have all payer data. So I can get information not just from Medicare, Medicaid, I get all the data from all hospitals. And I have the encounter level ED and inpatient data. The inpatient data is important for me to look at sort of whether or not the NYU ED algorithm is appropriate for the use in South Carolina. From 2005 to 2010, I excluded non-SC, non-South Carolina residents because my primary goal was to look at travel distances and, you know, people who are not residents of South Carolina probably had thousands of miles of travel distances because they're away from their home. I dropped ED visits with unclassifiable principal diagnosis, and that's because I couldn't do anything about it. Most of these visits include like unspecified pain, fever, visits for administrative reasons, attention to sutures. So those are the types of visits that I dropped. And then I was able to, because again, this is a small state, I also did a similar project with California data, and they certainly wouldn't give me the same level of data. But in South Carolina, they actually calculated each patient's home address to the ED and to the closest FQHC. So I have the exact travel distance, road distance, as one of my covariates. And obviously, in the administrative data set, we have demographics, coverage type, and the distance that I calculated. The FQHC list came from the HRSA website, and I tried to match the quarter of the patient's ED visit to what FQHC is in operation during that quarter so that I can calculate the closest one available. My analytical sample included 6.6 million data points approximately. That's 6.6 approximately, observations, ED visits during the six-year time period in South Carolina. My methods are pretty standard. I use standard linear probability models with hospital fixed effects. I'm an economist by training, and I finally realized that when economists refer to fixed effects, it apparently it's a little different from what biostatisticians mean, but I'm talking about econometric fixed effects. I'm using each panel, and for me, each panel is a hospital, and the idea is being that the hospital has something unique about it, and there's some kind of unobserved heterogeneity that is time invariant that I can control for. Obviously, I can't control for anything that's time varying, but basically, I'm using each panel, you know, the various visits within that panel to estimate the my coefficients rather than across different hospitals. And I recently, I love that music, by the way. there's also another way to do this. I actually had a separate paper on California, and the reviewer didn't like the fact that I used linear probability models, which, you know, the economists use without thinking twice. So apparently you can also use something called a fractional probit model, which for panel data, and basically you're using probit and you're maximizing the Bernoulli maximum likelihood function. And the funny thing is, for all that time it took me to calculate the estimates, and moreover for the delta, using the delta method to calculate the standard errors, it took me about 5 days straight of computer time to calculate the standard errors. It turned out to be the same answer as the linear model. So that was a fun exercise for nothing, but well, it's good for my good general education. So for the frequency, I also have a second and specification. I also looked, so going back a little bit, the standard panel model, each visit is a unit of observation, and on the left-hand side, I have the scores of how non-urgent or urgent the visit was. And also, I had a separate specification looking at how many, because I have unique patient IDs, I can look over the 5 years or 6 years and see which patients went a lot. And so I also created a separate specification where I counted the number of times with 75% probability that their visits were any non-emergent or primary care treatable or primary care preventable. So these are my outcome variables, the scores that I took from the NYU ED algorithm. And for the the unit level, the visit level specification, I use logged outcomes because they're 0.1, 0.2, all the way bounded by 0 and 1. And I also, just for fun, because I dropped all the zeros when you log something, I dichotomize the outcomes. Wow, I thought I had a lot of time. So let me go through this. I want to show you the, and the independent variables are obviously age, race, coverage type, distance, distance interacted with coverage type. And so let's start looking at summer statistics very, very quickly. Looking at the distribution of age of people going to the ED in South Carolina, this pretty much approximates the population in South Carolina. But if you look at this one, just looking at this, white patients make up about 54% of ED visits in South Carolina, but they actually make up about 69% of the population in South Carolina. And blacks, the African Americans, they're 42% of ED visits, but they represent 29% of the population in South Carolina. So that's something that immediately stands out. And women tend to go to the ED more. They're 57% of ED utilizers versus 51% of the population in South Carolina. But let's kind of very quickly look over this. A lot of people are self-pay, Medicare patients 15%, Medicaid patients 23%, commercial insurance 27%. And the distance, in general, on average, they travel 11 miles to the hospital, 10 miles to the nearest FQHC. And if you look at the non-emergent and primary care treatable and preventable scores, 25% is non-emergent, 25.8% primary care treatable, 12% emergent. So let's go to the results. So first of all, let's look at this. The African Americans and the Medicaid patients tend to have higher use of the ED for non-urgent reasons. Look at the, I want to come closer. Medicaid patients, we're here 2.2% higher, 2% higher for non-emergent. The African Americans, however, they are particularly prone to having high primary care preventable diseases. You see this, 2.24%. And not surprisingly, if you're a Medicare patient, you're older, and you often have primary care preventable conditions because of all the ambulatory care sensitive conditions that you have. And I have to rush a little bit, but this is the main point here. Let's start from the right column. The farther away you are from the hospital you went to, the higher the likelihood that your condition was emergent. You don't go to a ED that's really far away for nothing, it's more likely that it's emergent. But you come over here, if you're a self-pay or Medicaid patient, then the further away you go, the higher your scores for primary care preventable are. And here's the interesting thing for me. For the primary care treatable, again, self-pay and the Medicaid, further away, the lower. So the closer, the higher, right? So it seems like if it's very close, you're often likely to go for higher scores of primary care treatable or for self-pay and Medicaid patients. And the interesting thing for me was this negative coefficient on commercial insurance times ED distance. The further away you go, the lower the scores for any non-emergent, so that the closer you are, if you're a commercial insurance patient, the higher the score that it was non-emergent. So I'm going to skip this one, and I'm going to go directly to my conclusions because I can see someone's getting antsy over there. But basically, if you're free, this is the specification where I look at the number of times you went with 75% probability that went for an NE or PCT or PCP reason. Again, African Americans and Medicaid patients are particularly prone to go for lots of non-urgent reasons, but also for more urgent reasons like PCP. In particular, the figure I want to point out is this one here. This is about the highest coefficients. If you're African American in South Carolina, you're often going to something that could have been prevented. And this is just to show you that the NYU algorithm works in South Carolina, because if you look at whether or not you're going to be referred to an inpatient or you're inpatient within 30 days or the charges you get, the non-emergent scores have a negative coefficient. So the higher the scores, the lower the likelihood you're going to be sent to a hospital. Whereas if you're primary care preventable or emergent, those are positive and significant coefficients. So this is just my attempt to show that the NYU ED algorithm kind of works in South Carolina. And that's my conclusion, that that vulnerable users are more frequent users of the ED and for less urgent reasons, and commercial insurance patients seem to be the ones who are prone to use the AED for non-emergent reasons when it's convenient, because when it's closer. Okay, better leave. Thank you so much.